How is everybody doing? This is episode 23 of Sit Down with Sniper. So to start it off this episode, I did just want to refresh some memories. So I've been saying in the past couple weeks that I will be doing spaces on multiple days. All I can say now is just tune into Twitter. You know, we've been switching up the days. As of right now, we've been doing Saturday. I've been doing a new spaces every Wednesday before the doggy style with my friend Bombo. So we've been trying to do that. I'm also going to try to hold another space before the highs and lows spaces, which we will talk about later on in this podcast. But also, you can find the podcast every Monday. That won't be changing at all. But other than that, I don't think that anything else will be new. I don't have anything else on the schedule besides the spaces and the podcast with Bombo and then now the highs and lows. But other than that, I would like to introduce someone who has been working in the space very, I feel, secretly, but still big at the same time. He's someone who is super talented at, I guess you could say, murals, literally all types of painting, drawing, any of that. But let's introduce Jeff Govea. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on.
No, thank you for coming, man. I think you're someone in the space who not only is very, very genuine, but dude, I've seen you help so many people, and a lot of people got the chance to see your art at the NFT LA mural. So one thing I do want to ask you is, when did you start with this whole, I guess, art in general? Was this something that you recently picked up, or is this something that you've been doing for a long time?
I've been making work since 2013. I'm sorry if my dogs are going crazy in the background. I've been making work since 2013. I started, that would be professionally since 2013. I started in college in 2009, 2010, just getting really into the art space and specifically into murals. But yeah, I've been making work since 2013, specifically for the soccer industry, since 2016 or so. That's kind of been my niche for the last 5-6 years. And I've just been really running with that. But art has always been a part of my professional career. I try to incorporate it in every single thing that I do. The NFT landscape, I don't think most of the people that I've met within the last 6 months, they have no idea what my background is. They have no idea what I've done. And so it's just interesting, like building a audience without people having any context of what I've done in Web 2, if we'll call it that.
No, and that's what hopefully we get to learn a little bit about today, is like your adventures maybe before Web 3 and the things that people may or may not know without diving too deep into your personal life. So I do want to ask, I know you said you kept it mainly towards soccer. Is there a reason for that? Are you a soccer fan? Did you play soccer in high school? Could you walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, that was my first sport that I fell in love with. My older brother played, and I think I just wanted to play with him. And that was just what the Govea boys did. We played soccer all through elementary school, middle school, high school. I played. I was on the high school team. I was not amazing. I made varsity, but I really rode the bench. Like I didn't have the drive that I do now or the love for the game that I do now, but I always loved being out on the field and just the sport in general. When college came around, I started to travel a lot more, and I realized that the stigma of someone from the United States is that they don't know how to play soccer. And so they usually get clowned on when they go to other countries. But I could actually hold my own on the pitch, and that gave me some, you know, street cred within the places I was able to go. So I was traveling in Chile, in Argentina, Brazil, Uganda, Thailand, like all these places that the main sport is soccer. And if you can hold your own on the pitch, if you can dribble, if you show that you have skill, then suddenly you're not from the United States anymore. You're just one of the crew. And I love that about the game. I went to Brazil in 2014 for the World Cup, and it was there that I realized, man, there's something happening in the United States that could be possible in the next 10, 12 years. I just had this moment of clarity of what's happening in though with the culture of football, although it's way more advanced than what's happening in the United States, is possible in the USA. And then I started thinking, well, I should start to pair my art with the world of football, because I had this thesis that the commissions that I was getting at the time, because I was mainly focused on the world of coffee, were small. Like, I couldn't charge more than $450 for a shirt or for a design, because the shops didn't have it. The coffee shops couldn't pay that. And I thought, if I found an industry that I actually genuinely cared about that had a bigger market cap or, you know, bigger brands, they would pay me more money. And so then I just set this goal of, like, you know, I want to work with the titans of the space, like the Adidas's, Major League Soccer for United States. Like, obviously the leagues around the world are much bigger, but operating within the United States, if I could work with those sorts of brands, then people would begin to notice me. And so then I just started going to a ton of soccer-based events, like events for marketers, and started hustling, started grinding, started sharing more of the work on Instagram, and just really hitting it hard, and was able to kind of muscle my way through meeting a bunch of different people. And Adidas commissioned me for a mural in New York, and that kind of kickstarted everything. That was back in 2017. And then I was just kicked a bunch of work for the World Cup year in 2018. I was able to do a bunch of collaborations with really big brands that I had no business being a part of, but it just, doors just kept unlocking. And it was like just really surreal that I would get emails in my inbox from like Coca-Cola or Starbucks, Facebook, Red Bull, Lululemon, what else? Major League Soccer, La Liga, Premier League, the Clásico of Barcelona and Real Madrid. Like, it just kept coming. I'm like, what the heck? Like, I'm just this kid from Riverside, California, that is now able to do work within the world of football or soccer. And that the reason why I was able to have that sort of clarity in Brazil is because, growing up in Southern California, you're inundated with street culture, specifically from skate and surf. So the skate surf industry is super big out here, and everyone who's an artist wants to work with skate surf. And most of the art looks kind of similar to what I do, like really kooky characters. The line work is similar. And by me pairing it with soccer, all I did was I took what was already being done within surf skate and applied it to soccer. So I didn't invent the wheel. I just applied it to something different and then found this nice niche within it.
Oh, for one, that was an absolute amazing answer. I did not know that football was so, I would say, big of a part in your life. I mean, it sounds like football really changed your life.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You were able to find your thing, and you ran with it, bro. And that's beautiful. I think that's what we're all trying to do. And we'll get on the brands and all that. But I mean, even you answered it. I guess you never really expected none of this to come about. You were just doing your thing. People noticed it and people loved it. Do you have any advice? Or you might not. I mean, but is there anything you could say to the people that were once in your position, not necessarily trying to get signed or seen by the big brands, but necessarily just, I guess, words of encouragement to just keep going and keep pushing? Because it sounds like, you know, no matter what, you never gave up.
Yeah, I mean, there's all the cliches of like, don't give up, don't stop doing it. But right. There's also realities that come with that is like, I think we blindly say that to people when we're not analyzing, okay, but what exactly are the efforts that you're doing? Because if you, I put the analogy like this, if we think of the greater art or design or professional career landscape as a gigantic house with a bunch of rooms, if you're in the closet and you're yelling, and that yelling is you like telling the world, pay attention to me, my art is good and you're making good work. Well, if you're in the closet, like nobody's interacting with you and nobody can see you. But if you open that door and you go into a smaller room and there's a few people in there and you can share your artwork in there. And if you open another door, you go to another room and that room's even bigger, and you keep going until there's the biggest possible room in the house. And once you're in that room, nobody asks the question, how did you get in here? They just assume that you belong. And so I would say, going from that analogy, figure out how to not be in the closet, not be in the smallest one, the smallest room, but actually like break into the biggest room. Does that mean going in through the window? Does that mean coming in through the back door? Does that mean busting in through the roof? Like, I don't know. You have to figure that out. But as soon as you're in the room with creative directors and art directors, they don't question how you got in there. And it doesn't matter if you were one of the caterers and you just change your clothes and all of a sudden, like, you just look like them. If you're rubbing shoulders with those types of people, they never ask, hey, what are you doing here? They just ask, who are you? Like, why don't I know you? And then you just exist in that landscape. So the piece of encouragement that I would have for people is, if you can find the room that you want to be in, meaning a marketing event or a place where creative directors hang out, and if you can figure out a way to exist in that room, in that moment with other people, good things will happen. It really is as simple as that. And that's kind of been my strategy. That was honestly my strategy for Web3, was like, I need to meet as many people as possible, and I need to be hanging out in those rooms. And what's crazy is Twitter Spaces is just a way to meet a ton of people at once, and then also focus on growing your network. So that's kind of been the transition from the Web2 side to the Web3 side, is when I realized, man, I could do this same sort of principle without ever leaving my house. And that's when it unlocked of like, shoot, I need to go really hard in this moment, because this is a really special thing.
I'm glad you agree that it's a special thing. This is one of the few times I felt like I could sit in my basement, sit in my house, wherever, and really network, really build genuine connections that could benefit me and others. Not only that, I think we've talked about your Web2 journey, about how you've done the art, you've talked to these big brands, but now you've transitioned into Web3. So whenever was it also the Twitter Spaces and being able to work at home? Was that when it clicked for you, like, I might be able to do something through NFTs, or was it something sooner or something different?
So I knew about NFTs end of 2020. So in LA, a lot of the big time artists, they released, like, big time meaning they were selling out shows in Tokyo or Shanghai, you know, like what we would consider AAA fine artists. And that's certainly not me. I'm more of a commercial artist, meaning I make money from the brands that give me it. Those fine artists were selling NFTs like they would physical prints. They were just digital prints. And so that kind of turned me off for a little bit, because I was like, oh, I don't make money on physical prints. Like, that's just not going to be me. Then early 2021, like January, February, got into So Rare, which is a kind of like a fantasy football marketplace where you can own the players on chain and just play the weekly game. And then I put it aside for a little bit, watched VFriends come, watched Bored Ape Yacht Club come. Like, just, I understood what was happening. I understood, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It feels like Supreme, which I'm not part of that culture, but it feels like Gucci. It's just a flex. Like, and I totally understand it. And then a bunch of people started reaching out of like, hey, you should think about NFTs. And the thing that really clicked for me was when my friend in the space, it was someone I had connected with in the past from soccer. His handle is It's Me Chase, or Chase. I don't know if his last name's on there, so I'll just keep it at that. But he onboarded me into the space and was just kind of on the phone with me walking through how to set up a MetaMask. And I bought one of the crypto Moris, and I was in the Discord just like, what the heck? This is wild. But people were responding to me, and I had this same sort of moment that I had back in 2011. So in 2011, Instagram is like new. It's like, I think, a year old at that point, and nobody was really on it, but I posted a photo of my art and 7 people liked it. And 4 out of those 7 were people that I knew, but then 3 people I didn't know. So there was a guy from Los Angeles, a guy from New York, and then a guy from Brazil. And it immediately clicked of like, oh my gosh, this is how I can transcend Riverside, California, you know, this smaller city in Southern California that isn't Los Angeles. It's not New York. It's not a big city, but like online, I could transcend it. And so that moment in Discord back in October was the same sort of feeling of like, oh my goodness, this is it. Cause Instagram's attention span is so low. But Discord, people are genuinely hanging out and vibing. So then I just started to like dive into it. And in December, had the chance to go down to Miami for Art Basel for the day. And I was really keen on seeing how the Doodles Hearts event was going to go, because at that point, Doodles hadn't really like taken off as much as they have now. They were killing it. They were like a 2E floor from, and that was like, I remember seeing that just like, oh my gosh, that's unreal. Because I saw my friend Mintuan and, you know, I was just like, what the heck? This is nuts. But I went to that event and talking to the people, like I snuck into the event. I met one of the guys who was like doing some of the design work prior. I went like 2 hours before the event and met him. And then when I came back for the event to start, they were like, oh, you're not on the list. And I'm like, yeah. I'm friends with Tyler. And they're like, oh, Tyler, nice. And then they just let me in. And I, you know, I totally bluffed. And when I was inside, I realized like, this event is really not that great. And the people putting it on have no idea what they're doing. And this is the best project in the space. It was this moment of like, I'm not fudding the doodles at all. It just was like, holy crap, these guys are humans too. And they have no idea what they're doing. So there's this moment of someone like me could come in and make a mark, like do something. And then the intimidation level went way down of like, no, I'm not late. I need to do something. I need to at least try. So I remember texting my wife and just saying, hey, the money that we have saved for business purposes, I think I want to use it to send it in Web3. And of course she had no idea what that meant, but it was just like, for me, kind of this moment of like, no, I could bet on myself here. And this feels exactly like 2014 when I realized soccer was going to be big in USA. And I don't know, it's like the spidey sense, right? Like your gut kind of just telling you, lean into this. This, I have no idea what this means, but lean into it. And that's the vibe that I got.
Yo, I love that, because that's how I felt with Zed Horses and NFTs. Like in the beginning, like my friends were like, okay, then give me like a 30-minute summary of it. And I'm like, bro, I can't. But I'm telling you, the more I look into this and the more I do my research, like it's something's just telling me to just go in on it. And you know, that was early 2021, and I was just like, there's something here. Like so many people are getting drawn to all these communities. I was seeing what others were seeing. I had been in Discord beforehand, so I started seeing Discord communities pop up, and I was like, this is going to be something. Thank God I was lucky enough to see that back then and jump into the scene. But you know, so whenever you finally jumped into the Web3 scene, you know, I saw you early on. What do you think about from when you first started to even right now, like as of, you know, as we speak, have you noticed big changes? Because I mean, you've been in for a decent amount. There's people that's been in longer, of course, people that just jumped in yesterday, but I'm curious to see your side of how it is, because I feel like from the very beginning, you kind of played the role where you would watch others, see how it goes. Like you said, you saw Doodles, you saw BAYC, you probably saw Cool Cats, but you weren't super like hesitant to jump straight in without making it something that's in your circle of competence. So what do you think about the space now from where it started, whenever you saw it?
Yeah, the difference from, I would say, beginning of October is like really my foray, because that's when I actually bought something in the PFP landscape. Like I had owned So Rare cards since January of 21, but the PFP landscape, I think one of the things that we saw was the January pump. You know, it seemed like the space was invincible, and then realizing like, no, that's just not how everything goes. one of the things that is kind of this arbitrage that I saw was spaces that I noticed that there was a lot of people doing spaces, but if you just requested to speak, most people would bring you up. And if you were just speaking, people would not only interact, but they would follow you. So coming from an Instagram world where you have to basically plead in 7 different languages for people to follow you, like I will have multiple people DM me on Instagram and say like, dude, I love your work. And then I look and they're not even following me. And it, and, you know, I don't get mad. I'm not petty like that, but it's just, it's like impossible on Instagram to get a follow these days. But on Twitter, people see you're on stage, they see your PFP and they're like, oh, that seems cool. Like I'll follow that. So then as my following started to grow, I started to notice that people were also treating it differently. And there's 2 different sides to the NFT landscape. I think there's the people who are super in it for the flip, which is great. Like I love that. I love the hustle. I'm all about that. That's really cool. And then there's the community side, which I think is the much more powerful one, where you don't even focus on the floor. You're just like, I'm just here to vibe. I'm here to really connect with people. And over these last 6 months, I would say that's only been highlighted more, and it's skewing even harder. So if we talk about the left side of that skew would be the, and this is not a reference to political things, but like the left side of it would be the flip side, and the right side is the community. It's going further and further away from that, but you can still find the community side. It's just harder to find both at the same time. You know what I mean? Like I felt like in October, you could exist in the Cool Cats community while flipping and people would still be like, oh yeah, that's cool. But now if you go into it, there's this stigma against the flipping while you're in that community. Those sorts of things are kind of murky. What else do I see as different? I mean, certainly the number of projects that have come out. If I had released a project in January, I don't think there would have been an issue minting out, because I think you could have sneezed on your keyboard and minted out a project. Now you have to scrap a lot harder, and I'm seeing projects that are coming out and they're not minting out, and then they're stalling out on that. And so from the founder side, it's super nerve-wracking of like, dang, this is even harder than I thought it was going to be. And that's okay. Like what I'm trying to do is audacious. Like I'm asking people to trust me. I'm asking people to give me money on a project that, you know, even a year ago didn't exist. And that's crazy. That's audacious. That's absolutely insane. But it's not to say that you can't move that fast, but like that's the reality of where we're at. And so I think from the founder perspective, you're seeing a ton more activity, and the discrepancy between the haves and the have nots will only get larger. I think in the next 6 months or so, we will see a ton of projects come up that won't mint out, because it's just going to get even more difficult. And that's kind of the main difference, is that the space in the next 6 months is not the new kid on the block. This has been around for 2 years at that point. And I think we're going to really see that play out.
I think that's an interesting take, and I don't disagree with it. It's going to be interesting to see any of these projects over the next 6 months, because not only are you not the new kids on the block, but you have to bring something to me. I feel like that's refreshing, something that I haven't seen 1,000 times over the last 2 years. And that's super hard because of the amount of projects that have continually pumped out, whether it's a project or a derivative. So I'm very interested to see what people can bring, and if people are still going to harp on the utility, what the utilities are going to be. Are we ever going to see music NFTs pop? Are we ever going to see photography NFTs pop? It's going to be very interesting to see the different routes that we take. But this is a perfect transition to where I can ask you, now you've been working on something. You've been working on an NFT. You know, we know that you're a great artist. Me, I think you're a great person. And that's why I love that you came on this episode. People get to learn a little bit about you. And even though, like you said, these things are crazy that, you know, just a year ago you didn't have a project, and now people, you're in a position where you're asking people to invest in you and what you believe. But I feel like this episode does a great thing for that, because they can see who you are. They can see investing into something that might not have been around a year ago is still a great thing now. So let's speak on your project that you have coming up. It's Football Critters. And I don't really want to give the rundown myself. I'm going to let you talk about that. But from what I know, it is ran by yourself, and I believe Rudy and Jackson, which are two amazing people in this space, two friends that I have 100% met through you, because you surround yourself with some very amazing people. There might be some others that are on that group, but I would love for you to walk us through what Football Critters is, the couple people on your team, and we'll roll into some more questions after that.
Yeah, totally. So the only one that you missed on that was my co-founder, Jeff, which is confusing because my name is Jeff, but it's Jeff Rafter. He is the main dev on the project, and I'm super blessed to have him on the team. Rudy is an amazing homie that I've had for years. I mean, the genesis of my art career is Rudy in 2009, 2010, helping carry paint supplies to abandoned warehouses. I mean, it is hard to describe how down Rudy is. And so when I was starting this project, I'm like, Rudy, you don't do anything on Twitter. You don't do anything with art. You don't know anything about NFTs, but you are an amazing human. And I think that you are the perfect person that a community would want to gravitate towards. And I think we bring this yin and yang in the community of, I love having a harsher personality, like being able to bring out some jokes and stir the pot. And I love how Rudy is kind of like the cool uncle of it, you know, that I can be the bad cop and he's the good cop. And it's this fun dynamic that we bring to the spaces that I think people are drawn in, that at the very least, Rudy and Jeff are going to have a good time. Like, that was the whole concept, that when you go into a space with us, that we're going to bring a good time. And I hope that you have a smile on your face when you leave. So I needed him on the project. He was down. He was, I mean, serendipitously quitting his job right around that same time because he hated it. And I'm like, dude, just send it with me for a few months and like, let's try this out. Let's see what's good. And he believed in my vision and was like, all right, bet, let's make it happen. And then my guy Jackson, I help out at the Grove Community Church in Riverside. He was a high school student that I really vibed with, just loved his drive, loved how hungry he was, and also his knowledge of Discord and things that were kind of foreign to me. He comes from like the gaming side and just understanding youth culture, because I'm 31 actually tomorrow and Jackson's 19. And I felt like in the NFT space, so much of this space is driven by the 18 to 22 year old, but they don't have any liquidity. So if you just look at what those guys are talking about, they actually probably don't even make the purchase because they don't have the money. It's people that are my age and a little bit older that are driving all the sales, but you still need to drive the hype through the 18 to 22 year old. So I felt it was very important to have someone who is younger on my team, because he's going to bring a fresh perspective, because he just started. I mean, his adult life is like 2 years old, but he's going to bring a perspective that is lost from me, just because I'm jaded. I'm 31. I'm, you know, I've been around the block and I needed a fresh perspective. Jeff Rafter, going back to him, him and I met 6 years ago, I think 6 or 7 years ago. He actually commissioned me to make a children's book for him. Like, he wrote all the words and he wanted to illustrate it. And when I quoted him on a price, he's like, oh, that's way too low. I'm going to pay you a little bit more. And it was that response that I was like, man, this guy is like a man of character. He values my work and just really treats me well. And so since that moment, I've always been like, man, I want to do a project with him. And I saw at the end of 2021, he was tweeting about, I don't know what's going on in the NFT landscape, but I'm super intrigued. So I just kept bugging him like, Jeff, do a project with me, please. Jeff, do a project with me. And I was really not willing to do this project unless I had that team in place. So then when I had the final piece of the puzzle locked up with Jeff, I was like, all right, let's go for it. And so what Football Critter is it comes as a reaction to watching the space all 2021. When I was on Twitter, I would see people talking about the different NFT projects in a way that I'd only seen in two other places. So people were tweeting about the ETH movement on Cool Cats is this, or the holders, the unique number of holders is this. Just tweeting about numbers and data all day. But tweeting in about it in a way that was like super casual, almost like the stock market, right? Like we're talking about the price of Apple or the price of Tesla in a way that we all understand because it makes sense. So that was the first correlation, that it was very similar to the markets. The second one was that it felt like people were talking about fantasy football, like how many passes Cristiano Ronaldo had in his game in Manchester United, a stat that realistically doesn't do anything for anyone. It doesn't matter if Cristiano Ronaldo had 100 passes or zero passes. It only matters, did Manchester United win the game? But because of fantasy sports, we've become enamored with understanding all of the data. So I immediately thought, what would it look like to do fantasy NFT? And specifically, that thesis wrapped around my lifelong passion and main focus in my art career around football. Now, the thing Football Critter is it's really fantasy NFT. You're able to own your assets on chain. My critters play, like in air quotations, for these other projects. They're not affiliated with the projects. The Cool Cats inspired jersey is not an official Cool Cats thing. The Dead Fellas one, I don't have any affiliation with any of these projects, but the data is all public and we're taking that data and we're correlating it to different positions. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to create a project that celebrated the whole NFT space at once. That most of these projects coming out are saying, look at me, I'm the hero of this story. You know, Cool Cats is an amazing project, but they're in direct competition with a project like Doodles. There can only be one king at the top of the ecosystem, right? Or that's kind of the way that we look at it. But my mindset is more on the everybody eats train. Like, I love people and I want to see everyone succeed. So I wanted to create a project that celebrated the whole space at once. The Football Critter is not the main story, and it never will be. Football Critter is going to be something that is always celebrating what's happening in the NFT landscape. It's a tool, really. It's an NFT education platform. If you're following along the NFT space, why not own an asset on chain that is also tracking that data? The way we'll track it is through a Web2 application. That's why we needed Jeff Rafter. He's building the back end for that. And it's essentially scraping the third-party data for the project. And on our Web2 side, we're mapping it to the metadata on OpenSea. So when you mint your critter, let's say you get number 6603, and that's a slug goalkeeper playing for Doodles. So based on the unique number of holders for the Doodles on that week, you would get a score correlating to your critter. And on that Web2 side, which happens on our site, there's that side of the competition. So you own the asset, you're a part of the community, you do everything else that every other PFP project has, but we have this one small weekly competition aspect to it. We call it one part crispy, which is the community, the cheekiness of the project, and then one part competition. That is the Web2, the fantasy element, the data-driven side. So if you're interested in NFTs, it doesn't really matter if you like football. Football is skin deep on this project. It's because it's the most authentic thing for me. I wanted to make a project that only I could make. And this really is that. This is, you know, for better or worse, I might get penalized on how different this project is. I'm aware of that. It probably would have been better if I just done, you know, a photo of a wolf and given him a bunch of funny hats and different lipstick and whatever. But I couldn't in good conscience get behind that. I needed to push the envelope just one inch. Like, I'm not changing the NFT landscape by any means, but I am doing something different. And for me, that was the main reason, that I'm not the kind of guy who wants to reskin what's already been done. I'm super stoked for the people that did it, and I'm not discrediting anything. It's just, this is 2022 now, that we're almost halfway through the year. and I need to help push the NFT landscape to the next level. And if that next level means it's one inch higher than where it was, well, so be it. And if I get penalized on it, like, it is what it is. I had to give it a shot.
Dude, when I tell you, the moment you told me about Football Critters, I was so excited because I felt like it was exactly that. It was a fresh look in the space. You know, I had the same, probably not the same, but I had this outlook whenever I was so far into the NFT space. It was like, yeah, I could go be a project founder or something like everyone else. But I was like, I really want to like kind of step out of that. I want to do something else to like carry it on. And that's what made me edge towards a podcast. And with your project, I think it's going to be something. For one, I have not seen anyone else talk about any kind of project that is even similar to this. So after this episode comes out, or whenever the project releases, I know that there will be other projects that are going to try to replicate what you're doing, and they can try. That's going to be beautiful. You know, I think you're going to set a big trend with this because it's something that's fresh. It's something that's going to be super fun. And like me personally, like you said, I'm going to use it as a tool. I feel like it's going to be a very useful tool to navigate this space, be able to watch it. Cause I'm not someone who can sit there and watch a chart. I don't know how to read these charts that have a bunch of arrows up and down, but whenever you start tying it into things like sports with references that maybe I understand more, I feel like I am going to get a better sense of what I'm doing, rather it be whatever field of NFTs. So that's one thing that I have not been more ready for, man. You have something that I think is beautiful. And like you said, like, who cares? You're trying to push the envelope. And I feel like that's what's needed. You could have easily, like you said, made another profile picture, just made a 10K project, sold it out and been like, okay, cool, that was fun. But you're legit trying to do something, trying to give back and make a really cool idea for NFT, something that, like I said, I haven't seen done. I know you spoke on the team, and Jeff Rafter, I heard him speak in Spaces the other day. It was one of the few times, you know, you're a very, very funny guy. You love to cut up with Rudy and friends, but, you know, even you took a moment to say, you know, that was a very genuine moment that you and Jeff had in Spaces whenever y'all spoke about y'all's beginnings. And it was very, very cool to see that genuine side of both you and Jeff, because, you know, you're super funny, but that's not a side that we see very often. And to know that every time you do something, from what I've heard, you give it your all. You put your heart into it. And I feel like that is super awesome and super cool of you. I do want to ask you real quick before I carry on. Was that children's book ever published?
So Jeff, I don't know what he did. I know he got it printed out. I don't know if he ever actually got it formally published. I think for him, it was a project that had been nagging himself and that he needed to do it for himself. Jeff is an amazing human. He does not like the marketing side. He doesn't like, you know, having to oversell. And in the world of publication, you really have to hit the streets. So I think Jeff wanted to make that project just to tick that box and say, yes, I did it. And we're stoked on how it looks. I mean, I think the story is rad. It's about this little elephant shrew that named Alexander Rocket Nose that goes into space. And it was a really fun project to do. And so hopefully he does release it for the public. But I mean, he's constantly building so many different things and he's got a lot on his plate. And I know that eventually he will get around to making that public.
Yeah, well, that's still beautiful, man. Even if it's a personal thing that people want to do, that's still a beautiful thing. And it's so lovely that you got the chance to work on it with them, because like you said, it has built something way more beautiful beyond that. And, you know, honestly, I hope one day that maybe you can post, or Jeff can post pictures of the book, or think about releasing it, because I would love to be able to support that and see your art in a book, man. That's so lovely. But the one quick thing I wanted to speak on is Rudy and Jackson. You know, whenever I met Jackson in LA, which, you know, you absolutely blessed me by helping me get out there, which just really put into concrete like who you was, how genuine you was of a person. But Jackson was so cool. You know, I saw y'all bust ass at the Ray Ray party. Y'all were making jerseys, cranking them out. It was so lovely being there with all the friends. But Jackson was a super
dude. Cooler. That was so stressful. That was
I know. Y'all were over
it
there.
It was amazing. Oh,
I walked up. I walked up and bro. Jeff was like, "Yo, man, can you give me some food?" And I was just like, "Yeah, man, you know, I got you two tacos."
Yes,
I could just
please.
Tell. I could tell you were busting your ass, man. But it was all for the love of other people. And that's when I knew you, Jackson, Rudy. I was like, these dudes are literally spending their time at a party where people are having a blast, eating tacos, hanging out with people from the internet. And you three are literally like, yo, we're going to crank this out for y'all and for friends, because we literally care about y'all. This is something that we want to be a part of. We're part of the community. And that's when even I knew before then, but that was just another clicking moment where I was like, these are some real genuine dudes. These are the dudes that I want to surround myself with. These are the people I can see in the space being successful, because they're not all about themselves. In a space where I'm seeing more and more people become exclusive or about themselves. So it was super beautiful to see. Like I said, Jackson was a very intelligent young man. I've seen him in multiple spaces. He is trying his hardest to grind out this space. He's doing everything he can. So big salute to him. I have nothing but respect for him, because I know it's tough navigating this space whenever you're in college. Not only that, but you're not, you know, he's not someone that's super wealthy. He don't have parents throwing money at him or nothing. So he's legit out here on his own, trying his damn to make everything work. And I love that about him. He has some great drive and ambition. And even, you know, you had a very kind gesture of gifting him an NFT that he really wanted. And whenever I seen him take to Twitter, he was so thankful for that NFT. And I was like, that's awesome. Not only that you gifted him something like that out of the blue, but the fact that he was so, so thankful for it. And I think you knew that he was. And not only that, but Rudy, you know, you and Rudy are like Robin Big, like I feel like Will and Carlton. Like, it's so funny to see you two around. It really is like the yin and yang, because Rudy is such a funny guy. I felt like I've known you two forever, and reality is I've only known y'all for a couple months, but I really do feel like y'all are some people in the space that I can trust and come to. And even you helped me out in LA and gave me some life advice with Rudy, and it's just things that I'm forever thankful for. So I'm super, super grateful to, you know the whole team, have met you guys in person, and, you know, just really get to see behind Football Critters what y'all are working on, and knowing that this is going to be something that I'm investing in, but I don't have to invest just guessing like, oh, you know, I really hope Jeff and them are doing their work. Like, no, I know you guys are at home busting ass. I know y'all are behind the scenes really trying to give back to what you've been building for the last however long. Rolling into the next part, because I know we've been talking for so long and we could probably go on forever. I like to move over into the five questions of the podcast. Every week we do the same five questions for these guests. And, you know, Jeff is someone I know that has listened to almost, if not every single episode all the way through. And I'm very thankful for that. He is a supporter. And like I said, I'm so thankful for anyone that listens to the episodes. So to start it off, Jeff, I guess some of them are a little hard, some of them aren't, but some of them are super simple. The first one being, what is the most important thing in your life?
The most important thing in my life is not a thing. It's definitely, well, I guess it's the thing, the relationship I have with my wife. So my wife is my absolute hero. She's the best part of my day, because she doesn't like art at all. And I love that. I love being able to not talk about all the things that I'm doing. Well, I mean, I can talk about those things with her, but I just don't want to live my entire life focus on this one subject. I don't think that's healthy. And so it's nice to have this constant change of pace, this breath of fresh air. We go for a walk two times a day, once in the morning and then once in the afternoon. And it's just a chance to slow down and joke around with her and hang out with the dogs. But yeah, it's such a good pace of life to do. And Super fun. So she will never be in the Web3 space. She has no idea what's going on. I inform her, and she calls the project Soccer Monkey, which I think is really funny. And I love that. It's just like the perfect thing. So I say, oh, this is what happened in Soccer Monkey today. And, you know, I'm a little stressed here. And she always has a good perspective of, you know, as a founder, there's extra stress attached to it. Like, what if we don't mint out? What if people don't like what we're offering? And she's always just like, yeah, but this project doesn't define you. Like, you were creative before, you're going to be creative after. It's still a good opportunity to go for it and to give it your all. And so that constant bit of encouragement just keeps me going every single day.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like it's always one thing whenever, you know, your friends and stuff compliment you and reassure you, but there's always something about a loved one whenever they reassure you and they give you that confirmation. It really makes you feel like what you're doing is worth it. You know, not to say that your friends aren't special, but there's always something about a loved one that just hits a little different. And I love that you have that. You know, your wife is a beautiful woman, and, you know, we always give you jokes about y'all being together for 9 years and stuff like that. But I know that you legit have a family at home and you bust your ass every day to, you know, to do that and be able to have this for you and your wife and your little dog, or dogs. But, it's super beautiful to know that, you know, you and your wife have that and that she is so supportive of what you do in Web3, because like you said, being a founder, even being anyone in this space, it can be super rough. But being a founder, especially whenever you have everything weighing on you, there are a lot to think of. So I'm super happy for you that you have that at home, that you're able to just sometimes step away and get that reassurance that what you're doing is great. Because I promise you, brother, you are building something special and you are a very special human. But number two is, what is an obstacle that you have overcome that has helped you get to where you are today?
I like this question. I mean, I don't have like a crazy story, but the thing that I think kind of defines my drive and the reason why I'm hitting the creative landscape so hard, it is related to soccer. So my senior year of high school, I was on varsity. I was really excited to be starting. I get injured right before the season starts. Like, I'd say a few months before, I sprained my ankle really bad. And so I was just out for a little bit. And I expected, when I was healed up, to be starting. But in that time, this sophomore came up and just really started killing it and was doing genuinely amazing. And so I lost my starting position as a senior. And I remember being so upset with my coach. Like, how could you take this away from me? You know, this is my senior year. I'm supposed to be starting. And he just looked at me and said, Jeff, you're not someone who can just afford to stop playing. You didn't get better in that time frame. You weren't working on anything. So someone just outworked you, and we're going to keep moving without that. You can either accept that and be a part of the team, or you can, you know, part ways. And so I rode the bench my senior year, and there's so many people who ask me, like, why are you still on the team? Like, as a senior, why are you still going? And it was something, it was just a reminder of, like, you don't quit when things are hard. You don't quit when it doesn't go your way. And I've never expected anything from that moment where, you know, in the world of art, nobody's going to hand you anything and you're not owed anything. And that's okay. And it's okay to take the L's. It doesn't mean that you get to quit. You have to have that grit and keep moving.
I like that, man. That's something that I've been learning myself. You know, I'm only 25, but I feel like I'm still young, and that's something that I'm dealing with. You know, I can't just give up at certain times. You know, there's always a fight to give. So, I mean, I really like that you said that. And this is going to be one of the few episodes that I actually listen back to, because, for one, I hate hearing my voice. But there's a lot of things that I can take away, and hopefully others can take away as well from this episode. Moving on to the next question was, and I think this will be a little interesting with you. When you leave the house to go out, what are at least three necessities that you have to bring with you? Now, credit, I try not to count like your phone or your wallet or your car keys. I mean, them are three things that you kind of have to bring with you. If there's any extras, like, I don't know, some chapstick, you might carry some Band-Aids in your sock. I don't know. Are there three extra necessities that Jeff leaves the house with and can maybe the iPad, you know, but are there three?
So I would think the three that fall outside of the other daily carry would be always have my knife on me. I'm a big knife guy. I have multiple knives. I love giving people knives. It's just like something, I don't know. I just love knives. And my pencil and then my sketchbook. Those are the three things that are definitely always on me. I have a hard time paying attention. So I'm usually drawing while at church or in a meeting or something when I'm like trying to kill time, I'm drawing or writing. So yeah, between that, if the pencil and sketchbook are considered one, then the iPad would be the third thing. Cause yeah, it's just, if I have those three things, then I'll be prepared for anything. Cause you can use a knife for everything, right? You can protect yourself. I've never had to do that, but you can protect yourself. You could, there's always random things I need to cut. And I hate having an idea and writing it down digitally. I like writing it down physically. There's something about that it makes it stick a lot more. So yeah, those are my three.
Yeah, I like that. So just know that if you ever catch Jeff out in public, he might slice and dice you if you run him. You know what I'm saying? No, but that's funny, man. A lot of people here in Kentucky, they do keep a knife on them. I usually have one, but it's like built into my I don't know what them things are, the little belt clip, metal clips. So it's kind of cool. But so rolling into the next one. I'm really curious to hear this one, and I know I might have said that for the last one, but you're an interesting person, Jeff. I love it. What is one thing that you want to do before you get too old? And don't say that you're too old already. You are so young. So
why would I say that? I would never have said that. I'm still young, bro. I turn 31 tomorrow. I got making a lot sure, of life to live. Making yeah. sure. How dare you? For me, the World Cup is the absolute best thing in the world. So The easy answer would be the thing that I want to do before I get too old would be go to the World Cup again. And I'm trying so hard to go to Qatar for this year's. I just actually applied for my tickets yesterday. I don't know if it will make sense, but I still applied for them and it's always good to plan. But that's definitely one to go see the World Cup at least one more time. Other than the United States, it's going to be in the USA in 2026. So I don't count that as one. And then the other thing would be, I really want to do a big trip in Patagonia with my wife. We love Chile and I just would be super stoked to go back because I can finally speak the language and hold my own. And, it just seems like one of the coolest places in the world, you know?
No, actually, I don't know. I've never seen pictures of it.
Patagonia, bro, you got to check it out, man. I mean, there's a whole brand around it called Patagonia. It's just beautiful scenery. Like, it's the closest thing to Antarctica. I mean, your mountains are gorgeous. Tons of lakes. The ocean's right there. It's like heaven.
So I do have a couple Patagonia shirts. I've never... Dude, I'm going to sound like a damn idiot. I didn't know it was a place.
It's fine. You do know that the Colombia as well is also a different brand. It's not talking about Colombia, the country. It's talking about the area of Colombia. So I'm just trying to help you out, bro.
Yo, this right here on Sit Down with Sniper is how you find out that Jeff is extremely smarter than Sniper and Sniper does not know his geometry, but that's okay. That's a new segment of this podcast.
The fact that you just said geometry makes it so much better, bro. You said geometry instead of geography. And that,
oh, damn, I did. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That makes it. That is the best.
Oh, let's stop. Let's get back on NFTs. Right. Okay. Woo-wee. For the fifth and final question, thank goodness. If I gave you 200 ETH and it had to be spent on NFTs, not Football Critter, what are some big purchases or plays that you would make. And I'm curious to hear your outtake, because I know you've been throughout the space and you've seen things come and go. So as of right now, what would you be using that 200 ETH on in this bear market?
I think I would pick up a doodle for sure.
Wow.
Pick up a doodle. I would definitely pick up a few moonbirds, and that would take up a lot of the space. Yes, I really would, because you cannot fade Kevin Rose. You can't. You absolutely cannot. Okay. I mean, the drops that will happen because of that. And honestly, this might sound cookies is some V friends, because the thing that I'm betting on, the thing I like to bet on is the people behind the projects. I think a cool cat would be sick as well.
V friends, one or two?
Definitely one. Okay. V friends two is cool, but I like the V friends one utility more.
Okay. Fair enough. And you said possibly a cool cat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I met Elu in during South by Southwest. He was super nice, like crazy genuine conversation. You know, he wasn't like running around saying I'm the founder of Cool Cats. It just like came up naturally in the conversation. He was like, "How'd you get into NFTs?" And then I told him my story, and I'm like, "How'd you get into NFTs?" He's like, "Oh, I founded Cool Cats," and I'm like, "Sick, that's great. Like one of the biggest in the space. Like that makes sense." But he offered me some really good advice about my project and chopped it up on a level that only someone who's actually going through it, and they're going through a lot right now, but I believe in their ability to weather this storm. Every good project needs to weather a storm.
Yeah, absolutely. Elu, aka Evan, is a great person. No, I did not dox him. His name is out there. But Evan is a great guy. He comes from, it's funny because before NFTs, he was a big like freestyle rapper, and he can rap a little bit. So that's one of the interesting facts about Elu. He's a great guy though. Known him since the beginning of Cool Cats, and they've always been so, that team in general is just so kind, so loving. I was able to meet Klon in LA, and it was just so cool meeting him and his wife. It was a fun time. And I met Jeff and Rudy and Jackson. And they tried to pick me up and slam me, but it's okay. I forgive them. But no, man, you have been amazing, Jeff. I think that this podcast episode has been one of my favorite, just because you're one of my favorite. And I know that you're working on something that not only you've put a lot of your time, passion, sweat, tears into, but something that you're doing with genuine friends, people that you brought from the real world that mean something to you. And I really hope that this brings a lot of looks at you, not because I know you're not about the fame, I know you're not about the popularity, but I personally think that you are a great person. And I really love when great people get that showcase and that spotlight that they deserve. Not that you haven't gotten it, but I just love seeing you. All these people flock to your murals and look at your art and be like, yo, this is some kooky, crazy, amazing art that Jeff just drew. Like, I need to see another Ray Ray on a mural ASAP, and which we will in NYC. I don't know if it's going to be a Ray Ray. I don't know what you're going to be drawing, but you will be running it back in NYC, correct? Uh-oh.
Yes, sorry. I was scrambling to hit the unmute. I couldn't find it for some reason. Yes. We'll be running it back in NYC. We also have some other stuff that will be announced in a week or so. So I don't know when this podcast is coming out. So I can't.
Monday.
Okay, yeah, that's before the announcement. So yeah, we're Football Critters partnering with two other projects in NYC for an event. We're going to be doing the NFT Alley, running it back. I'm still working on all the details, but I mean, I've got Mina from Wonder Pals on board, Harvey from Blocks. I think Menji is realistically going to be in town for that.
FDOT.
I'm trying to get, yes, FDOT. FDOT is down. I want Rico to do it. He might be too busy, but I'm hoping Rico from Whiskers is up for the challenge. Sean from Cryptoon Goons, Mason from Alien Friends. So it should be a really good time. Like, and I'm trying to get more more project founders and artists into it, because it's, to me, that is what Football Critter is like that event where it's not about any one project, it's about the whole space, because we were just so blessed to exist in this moment of all this activity. I have no idea what happens in 1 year or 2 years, but I do know this is an amazing time and we're so blessed to be living in the present.
No, you're right, man. I feel blessed every day that I wake up and I get to do stuff like this, whether it's a podcast episode, look at NFTs, get on Twitter and talk to friends, jump in the Discord. I do feel like it's a very blessed time. Rather we're moving fast or not, it's still something that's been lovely. And Jeff, I know that I have taken about an hour of your time, so you're probably tired of talking to me, because I'm sure you're going to talk to me some more on Spaces or somewhere else. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking time out of your busy schedule with Football Critters, the community and all that, to come and do this episode. It means the most to me. And thank you for everything you've done, not only for me, but everyone else in the community, whether it be this or that. You know, we all can't thank you enough, and know that we are here supporting you, brother. And at the end of the day, don't matter if you sell out or not. I personally think you will. You know that you have a solid group of friends. You can see in the group chats that really have your back. So once again, man, I can't thank you enough. Is there anything that you would like to say before we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing would be an encouragement for people listening would be get in spaces and request to speak, and don't be afraid to say something. I think a lot of people are afraid to say things, but you will never know who you meet by requesting to speak. So that's my challenge for the listeners, is get in a space this week and request to speak. Just do this one where you request to speak, you get on stage, you say, hey, host, thanks for having me up. Just wanted to say hi. I actually have to run, but wanted to say thank you for having me. And that kind of like eases you into it. And then just keep doing that. Helps the host out, makes the space cooler, because we meet more people. So we need more voices in the space.
Absolutely. I think a good one too that you can always do is request to get up and say, hey, you guys, I'm kind of new in this space. I'm wanting to get to learn more, so I wanted to get up here and get the chance to talk to you all, or sit back and listen. And then you can just mute up and listen. And some people respect that. You can move to the crowd. You can do whatever you want. But as long as you always come in with good intentions, people are always down to vibe with you. And before we head out, there are some great spaces to talk on. And I think one of the best ones to talk on is some of the ones that Jeff has. So Jeff, you're a super warming person and a lot of people get to talk on your spaces. Is there any chance before we go, you can give us a quick rundown on where to find you on spaces?
Yeah. So every, we were doing every day, but we needed to make it a little bit more manageable. Monday through Friday, at the very least, 8:30 AM PST. We are in the Daily Woof with Crypto Ray Rays. Me and Rudy are the co-hosts for that. And we also have tons of co-hosts, unofficial co-hosts, official co-hosts. I mean, people dropping in, saying what's up, chopping it up. We always have a prompt for the day. Then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 5 p.m. PST, we do what's called Highs and Lows. And that is by Football Critter. And the idea is come share the best and worst part of your day. And that is also a general vibe hangout. So the concept is start your day with a smile, end your day with a smile.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, it's one of the best spaces to go on and have the opportunity to talk to and not feel pressured. But everyone, I can't thank you enough for listening in. This has been episode 23. I will be also linking in a new way. I found a new kind of thing called a podcast voicemail. I'll be listing it on the description of all my episodes for now, just a cool little way. If you want to, you know, go to the website on your phone or your desktop, you can drop a little cool message and I can listen to it and might even talk about them on the podcast. But I can't thank you all enough for listening in. This has been a great episode. You got the chance to listen to Jeff, Football Critter, his story, the story behind that. And it was beautiful. So check us next Monday. We are dropping every week. And Jeff, thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been episode 23, and we will see y'all next week. Thank you all.